Camille Trail, and she's joining us very shortly, but we heard Got to Get to Know You first, as we said, and the new one, which was not the new one, but a more recent one, which was called Magic Trick, which came out about 18 months ago. We're going to say Camille, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
Good, I'm fine, thank you. Welcome to Connect in its new location in the beautiful Yarra Valley. And congratulations on your career to date and the manner in which you've approached it, because it seems that you prefer to rely on your songwriting talent as opposed to any manufactured image. Was that sort of intentional, or is that something that just evolved?
I suppose probably a bit of both, really. I always kind of think it's the music that's what is important.
Sure.
And that's always the focus, you know, that's why you're doing it, because you're passionate about the music. So I guess it kind of just happened that way, but I suppose it was just like an unconscious choice, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Oh, well, it seemed a good choice because you've got some great music out there, and you've been doing that for a few years now, probably 3 or 4, would that be right?
Yeah, I think my first single came out in 2019,
time flies when you're having fun. We last spoke when I interviewed you, and we found out before we went to air, it was about 18 months ago, when Magic Trick came out. And Magic Trick was a collection of 5 songs, and I think those songs actually set you apart. I played them at back at the time to my audience, and the people reacted to the very vulnerable lyrics that seemed to be there, especially in that title track, their Magic Trick, for example, which at times seems deeply personal. But so what type of reaction have you had to that EP, which they called an EP, 5 songs that came out 18 months ago?
Oh, well, thank you, first of all, for playing them all.
It was a great EP. Hard not to play it.
Thank you. I think the reactions have all been good. I think, you know, any time you're releasing music that is quite vulnerable like that, you know, you always kind of get that reaction from people. It's like, oh, my God, I feel the same way. And it's kind of why you do music, and that's the music that I love the most, is when I hear that and go, oh, I'm not the only one. Like, that's exactly how I feel, and I love when you can connect fully with music. So that was really the aim for those kind of songs, and also to kind of turn a not so great period of time into something nice, I suppose.
Okay, so you obviously had some personal issues at the time, then that inspired you to make the EP. Would that be a fair comment, without going too much into those issues?
Oh, yeah, of course. I feel like, you know, a lot of songwriters are kind of writing from personal experience, and a lot of the times too, like with my songs, you know, the whole song may not be about that, but there'll definitely be certain aspects of the song where, like, it encapsulates the feeling that you had, and then I kind of like to dramatize it a little bit, you know, for a special effect.
It's called poetic license.
Yeah, but I mean, Magic Trick was completely, you know, 100% me, that one. And it was very, you know, like, it's kind of, you know, those songs, it's like you don't really want to admit to the entire world that you're feeling that way, but it's also, everyone feels that way. So maybe, you know, if you admit it, then it makes it less taboo, and it makes people realize that it's fine to feel that way.
Well, exactly. I'm going to mention something that probably will go over your head, only because you're a lot younger than me. But you've probably heard of Buddy Holly.
Yes.
Now, Buddy Holly's been dead for 67 years, but they're still playing his music. And the reason they're playing his music, he expressed things simply, and they were honest feelings. You know, a lot of them was about love and love lost, of course, as it was in the late 50s. But, you know, it was the simplicity of his lyrics what people identified with. And I think that's what's happened with you, with Magic Trick particularly.
Ah, thank you. I think it's nice just to be real. There's a lot of things in the world at the moment that are not very real. You know, with social media, everyone's posting the highlights. You kind of can get swept away in it. So it's nice if something is just simple and straight to the point and just honest.
And I think that translates to people, because they can see through the other parts of things, the falseness of lyrics, which, you know, are really grandiose. And when you come up with something that's coming from the heart, and it's, as you say, people identify with that and say, yeah, I felt like that once, or I still feel like that, or as the case may be. I understand you grew up on a Queensland cattle station, and you went from there to study music at university, which is really quite a contrast. When did you realise that music was the direction that you wanted to take in life? Well, it must have been quite young, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I always loved music as a kid. I was always, you know, when you do chores and you're going out and feeding the dogs or the cattle, I was always singing to myself. But, you know, I was that young that I didn't realise that you could do it as a career. And then when I went to high school, that's when I really... I'd been doing piano lessons since I think I was about 8 years old. So I loved, you know, piano. And then when I went to high school, that's really when I discovered that you could do it as a career and you could be a songwriter. So that's when I really, you know, I joined all the choirs and, you know, all the, like the glee club. I thought I was so cool in a glee club, like a TV show. It's like, oh my God, I'm living my dreams. Couldn't dance. That was not so great. But yeah, really high school was kind of where it really, you know, solidified that that's what I wanted to do. And then, so yeah, then obviously I went to uni and mum and dad on the farm, they're the most supportive people ever. They've always been like, no, if that's your dream, follow it, give it 110%. So it was, you know, I didn't really think much. I was lucky where it just felt natural for me to go from a cattle farm to then move to the city and study music.
And I bet you enjoyed it because you obviously enjoyed piano as a child. It wasn't mum sort of saying, go and do your piano practice now?
I was a little bit bad at practicing. My piano teacher would tell you that I was pretty bad, that, you know, she would tell me, oh, you should be practicing 3 hours a day, and I'd quickly do my 10 minutes of practice before class, and she'd be like, oh, you've practiced a lot this week. I'm like, yes.
I got away with it.
Yeah.
So I go to 2 minutes next week. Yeah, okay. So you started out with piano, but you seem to play guitar now, or do you fluctuate between both?
Yeah, I really fluctuate between both, but the guitar really kind of came about because, I mean, it's a lot easier to carry around a guitar than a piano. And, you know, guitar is like probably one of the most common instruments that singer-songwriters play, and I'd always be watching people play the guitar and kind of just really found it interesting. I find the songs that I write on guitar versus piano very, very different too. So it's nice having both to kind of go back to pick whatever style you want it to be in.
Okay, I was just about to ask you which one you use to compose with, but you've just said both, depending what you're doing.
Yeah, I'd say probably more guitar, but yeah, I definitely use both. Kind of depends what song I want to write.
You sound a bit, I don't want to say you're copying anybody, but to me, you remind me a little bit of Norah Jones.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna take that with me and I'm gonna remember that for the rest of my life.
Oh dear, you're all right. You sound very much like Norah Jones. Yeah, take that now. And the reason I'm saying that is there's a beauty to your lyrics, and it's often very soft musical accompaniment, as you said, sometimes guitar and sometimes piano. So the words and music seem to foster a relationship between your music and, I would imagine, your audience, with you taking the role perhaps of a storyteller. Now, whether those stories are real, as we said some of them were, or whether they're poetic license, as we also said, but you create a relationship between you and your audience. Is that very noticeable to you?
Ah, thank you. Yeah, I think so. I think it's nice to be able to connect with, you know, the audiences that are listening to music. And I know even, you know, sometimes you receive messages or people coming to your shows, you know, they'll be like, oh, when I heard the song, like I was going through this at the time, and it kind of really, you know, kind of helped
resonates
them get through
them,
it.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's kind of what you're completely doing it for, right? Like when you hear things like that, it's like, oh, yeah, like I am doing the right thing.
Your words and music mean something deep to somebody else.
Yeah, that's like the whole goal. And if you can achieve that, then like there's nothing else. Like that's all the success that you need in my book.
Well, you don't have to go any further then. I think you've done that. Anyway, I imagine your type of song or your performance would work better with small venues rather than big festivals. Is that a fair comment, or do you adjust yourself for the bigger audiences as well?
Yeah, I find a lot of the times for festivals and stuff, it's you get the band together and you try and really, you know, you amp it up and create that fun energy, which is really fun for something different because most of the time I am playing solo. But it's nice being able to do both. It's nice being able to get the band together and, you know, having the fun with that big, full, loud production noise, and then stripping it back and mm-hmm. also offering those solo shows. I always think that the solo shows are a way to almost see the songs in almost like the forms that they were written in. It's a lot more intimate. It's more about the songs, and then, you know, with the band, it's more about, you know, the entertainment and fun dramatic, atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm speaking to singer-songwriter from Queensland, Camille Trail, and she's taken her music to audiences overseas as well. So how did you find... I know you've been to England, I know you've been to Ireland, and how did you find those audiences compared to the ones you deal with back home? Because I know you've been around supporting Ash Grenwald quite recently in Australia. So what's the... Is there a noticeable difference between the English and the Irish audiences, perhaps, and those back home?
Yeah, I mean, I feel fundamentally when I went over and toured in the UK, obviously being an Australian artist, and I'm not a huge established artist by any means. When I went over there, I was like, oh God, are people going to come to the show, or I'm just going to be singing to an empty room? And I found that a lot of the audience over there were just so excited to hear new music and to discover new music that they would see a post and be like, oh, it's an Australian. I have no idea who that is, but I'm going to go and buy a ticket. I thought that was just so beautiful. And, like, they were just so passionate about discovering new artists, which I found was really, really lovely.
How did you find Ireland? I've obviously been to both, but Ireland, I find the audiences are very, very different, but very, very sort of happy and... very into their music, whether it be theirs or somebody else's. I mean, they obviously love their own sort of music, but, you know, I think they also love when they hear something from somewhere else, like somewhere far off, like Australia, where they identify with, because they've probably got relatives over here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all the Irish people were so lovely. They're so kind. Even, you know, when you're walking around on the street, everyone is just so kind and wants to help you so much. And, you know, like, even just, you know, the customer service. Like, I was like, oh my God. People say that Australians are nice. I'm like, geez, these Irish people, they've one-upped us on the...
Well, I think they...
No, they're just very lovely.
I think you're right, because the one thing I noticed about Ireland, I've been there quite a number of times over the years for various things, but they're very interested in talking to you. Not necessarily about you, but just making conversation. Which perhaps doesn't happen so much. Certainly in Melbourne it doesn't. Did you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. I found, you know, people would just... They would just want to chat, and they would be like, oh, you're from Australia, and they want to chat. And I don't even think it was just because we were from a different country at all. It just, you know, they're just so genuine.
Just a new face, and, I might have a chat to this person and see what she's all about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think even just people buying... tickets, and some people said they came to the show and they didn't even look us up on social media to hear what the music was like. They
it's
just saw
music,
the post and saw folk music, and they thought, oh, two Australians, I love folk music, I love Australians, I'll buy a ticket and see what it's about.
Yeah, see whether I'll either like it or I won't like it. Yeah, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah, I feel like that's, you know, that's probably something I haven't discovered as much of in Australia compared to over in the UK. So it was a nice experience.
Good. I understand that you've recently decided to self-manage your career rather than perhaps going the reverse, having a manager. So why the change in direction?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, being an independent artist financially is really tricky. So I think, you know, financially it probably made a good decision to become independent again. But ultimately I feel like the music was changing a lot, and you know, it was kind of just felt like it was going in a new direction, and it felt like it was kind of time to start a new chapter and be, you know, an independent artist, full creative control. But yeah, I mean, ultimately it was the financial decision was pretty much the kicker.
the percentage you pay. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move to your more recent recording sessions, only of which we've heard very, very little at the moment, but we have heard the current single, which has emerged from those ones. The first one, that's called Postcard, folks. Postcard is the name. As listeners will soon discover, if they haven't heard it already, and I've been playing it for a while, so they might have if they listen regularly, this song is strikingly different to the ones you did, I played earlier in the program, and of course other ones that you've had. And of course the difference is it's more upbeat and relies more on the vibrancy of the music. So how did that song originate, and was it did you have an intentional... my headphones to the floor, that's not very good. Just talk amongst yourselves. No, it's all right. So really, how did you... have you made an intentional shift in your musical direction, or how did Postcards sort of evolve?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, I feel like ultimately when I was in the UK and I was touring the EP Magic Trick, and I love that EP. Like, it's, you know, it has like a special place in my heart. But you know, when you're playing those songs back to back every night, I was like, wow, I'm like, these songs are really sad, and I'm a very happy and bubbly person.
Well, I'm pleased to hear it, because I thought you were a bit sad on that. I mean, they were lovely songs, as I said earlier. They were poignant and they were beautiful. But I sort of thought to myself, oh, I wonder what sort of person... Is she a happy person or what, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I'm a really, really happy and bubbly person. Even when I wrote these songs, I'm like, oh, cool, great, woohoo. But I'm like, these songs don't at all... Like, I love them, and I think there's always a place for vulnerable, sad songs.
Of course.
I love sad songs. But I kind of just felt like they weren't actually really reflecting me as a person, because I'm a happy person. And, you know, I was kind of at the stage where I'm like, geez, it's making me a bit depressed singing these deep, dark songs every night. I'm like, I want to have some fun. So that kind of really inspired, you know, the transition into trying to, you know, have some happier, upbeat music that, you know, people listen to and they're like, oh, thank God, she's finally happy.
Buy the album. Don't talk. Let Camille talk you out of the album. It's not depressing. It's nice, but but you can buy Magic Trick, and it's a great EP. But you might take a hanky. She gives away a free hanky with it, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
There it is. Anyway, no, seriously, it's a great EP, and whilst I appreciate what you're saying, I mean, it's you know, it's, I guess, it's easier to write in the past and introspectively rather than to project into the future, and it's much harder work to do that. You've got to use a lot more imagination. And I think you've done that really well with Postcard. It's a lovely song, and it's got that backing, that really up-tempo backing now. So there's obviously very much a lot of Camille in the song. But you've just got a new backing with it, which is, would that be a fair comment?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, like, I think it's, I love a bit of juxtaposition as well. You know, the music is quite upbeat and kind of bouncy. But if you, you know, then the lyrics too, you can listen to them and you can kind of listen to them and be like, oh, that's a bit deep. But yes. Then also too, it's like, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to be that deep, but if you want it to be, then sure.
So it's multidimensional, folks. It's multidimensional. You can get out of it whatever you want. And that's there you are, Camille. We've sort of brought that up again. Camille, I'm going to let you go now, because I don't want you to talk yourself out of it anymore. No, but seriously, it's been fun. And do look at the EP, folks, that came out 18 months ago. It's got some lovely songs on it. And if I've got time later in the day, I think I'll play another one. But you've heard a sampling before with Magic Trick, and it's a haunting song. But let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about my new single, Postcard. It's you'll see it's not haunting in any way, shape or form, folks. It's a lovely song. And Camille, I'd like to wish you all the best with it and with your career moving forward. And let's play the song. Great job, and thank you very much for your interview this morning. Bye for now.
Thanks, Nigel.
Take care. All the best. Bye for now.